This meeting is now being recorded.
Hi everyone, let's wait a few more minutes for more participants to join. Okay, Jonathan can get in, Adobe Connect will call in. Hey folks, it's Jonathan. Sorry for the delay. Adobe Connect doesn't want to connect, so I guess we are already recording.
Jonathan, no, we are not. And since you don't see the Adobe room, we have David, Drew, Jordan, and Wado currently in Adobe Connect. So just let us know if we want to start a recording now. And we have apologies from Calvin, Jamie, Diane, Kylie, and Megan.
Okay. Well, we should probably just go ahead and get started. I'll keep trying to connect. But meanwhile, is there anyone else that's on the phone but not in Adobe Connect? And is there anyone with an updated statement of interest? All right, well, why don't we get started? I don't have the agenda in front of me, but I know one of the things is Jordan talking about parking. So why don't we, I hand the microphone to Jordan.
That's the first item. All right, so hopefully, oh, Jean-Baptiste has his hand up. Is that on purpose, Jean-Baptiste?
Yeah, just, Jordan, just a quick question. Would you like me to project your version or the one that Lauren has shared with Collins?
Either way, Lauren's not here, so why don't we start with my version?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So, just for context for everyone, there are only a few public comments that actually touched on the parking section. There were comments by INTA, ALAC, and the IPC that were supportive of the recommendation to gather more data. And actually, John McCormick also posted something saying we did, in fact, need to do more study, along with a large number of other suggestions and indications of how we didn't know what we were talking about. But I think generally supportive of the idea of doing, ICANN doing more study on this topic. The IPC said that we probably shouldn't wait until the next CCT review in order to do this. In addition, the registry stakeholder group opposed the recommendation, basically saying you have a bunch of hypotheses, but no particular reason why we should believe any of them, and therefore this is probably not worth ICANN's limited resources, but don't really provide strong rationale as to why studying the topic more would be bad. I'm not 100% sure how to think about the role of CCT with regards to limited resources by ICANN. I think that's something the community will have to take up in the budgeting process and in community feedback to ICANN about prioritization, but I don't think probably we should have that drive our model for what we think is important to study. So based on that, I've left the recommendation largely intact, but I've tried to onboard some of the feedback that we received from the comments. So John, if this is my scroll controlling what everyone else sees?
No, everyone can navigate through the document themselves, but I can change that if you wish.
Maybe that would be useful just to walk through the changes.
Sure. Let me put you as a presenter. There you go. Okay.
Great. So if we see here on page 2, you'll see the first of the edits is in this first paragraph. John McCormick had pointed out that in some cases, parking represents a sort of large promotional effort on behalf of a TLD. I think that's actually somewhat reflected in the NTLD stats, which has a particular category on promotional pages by registries, but it does make sense to call out specifically. We had already alluded to this in the language that Jonathan had put together in calling out the fact that if there's a big difference between, like, the initial registration price and the renewal price, that may have a big impact on renewal rates. But here we just call it out more specifically and say that sometimes when you see a bunch of parked domains, that's because the registry basically gave away a bunch of domains, and then go on with the observation that may result in lower renewal rates in the future. That seems like a logical fact, and we may actually even want to footnote this. I'll try to take a look, but for example, XYZ gave away a bunch of domains very early on in the program through Network Solutions, and essentially none of those domains renewed. So that might be a good evidentiary piece that we could mention in a footnote here. The next edit you'll see is this new paragraph that's inserted about two-thirds of the way down the page. This is in response to an INTA comment, which basically said, hey, you guys should point out that part of the parking phenomenon is the fact that trademark holders are sort of like forced to register these names. They don't really want to, and then they just park them. I think that is borne out by both observation and the INTA survey. So I do make that point in this paragraph. However, we had studied this in the consumer choice section, so I allude mostly to that. I say this is discussed elsewhere, and also make the point that the trademark, defensive trademark registrations, based on our analysis, represent a very small fraction of the overall registration pool. So that particular phenomenon is probably not material to understanding the competition dynamics. Waldo, your hand is up.
Yeah. Maybe if you can just go back to the previous, let's see if I can read it properly.
Yeah,
this idea about discounting, the previous thing that you're talking about, you said that there are some, there was quite a spike in park domains, which came about because of discounting, discounting and promotions,
John McCormack had suggested that sometimes large spikes in park domains would be correlated to discounts, yes.
Yeah, so what I'm thinking is discounting and promotion is part of, you know, is a tool for competition, isn't it? Discounting and promotion is a tool for, yeah. So could we perhaps reach a conclusion that there are instances where the number of park domains could actually be an indicator of enhanced competition if we use this this kind of scenario?
Yeah, that's a fair point, Waldo. I mean, I think there's some, it's definitely a consumer benefit.
We have seen that something.
Yeah, I think we can add some language. There may already be some language around that, but we can make it clear that I think what we're trying to get at here, Waldo, is not saying that discounting is bad or that promotions are bad, but just that.
Not that. I'm just saying the discounting, registries, discounting the price of the registration, and that is because they're trying to compete. So if that discounting is leading to parking, then if you do that relationship, to some extent the parking will now be indicating that there is more competition going on because, you know, there's more discounting going on. You know, there's a relationship. I'm trying to share a relationship there and how we can put it in the writing here. But not that the discounting is bad, but it's just that it's indicating that registries are competing.
No, right. So I think something. I guess I'm trying to say
something to think about.
Yeah. So I think we want to make two parallel points here. One is, I think you're right that discounting and promotions are good evidence of competition. So that's actually worth noting.
Yeah.
There. But at the same time, it is also possible, and I would say even likely, there's some observed evidence that indicates that it's true, that a lot of these discounted domains, if the renewal price is higher than the initial discount price, are not going to renew. And so in some cases, you see like a very high number of registrations. So in the case of the initial XYZ promotion I was talking about, I think it was millions of domains were registered, certainly hundreds of thousands. And almost none of them renewed. And so if you looked at the market share numbers, it might give you a somewhat misleading impression because that XYZ had essentially just given a bunch of names to people who didn't really want them, and then they didn't renew. And so it might not be fair to treat those the same as domains that people had bought for the purposes of competition analysis. So I think we can make both points. I think, you know, we don't have, I think what the conclusion we come to is that we don't have a way to interpret the parking data such that we can come to strong conclusions about effects on competition. So I think you're right that we should point out that it's evidence of competition, but we also want to make this countervailing point that these names may not renew at the same rate as non-discounted domains do.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Wado. So so moving back to the comment about trademark holders, just once again, we just call out the fact that some of the parking is by trademark holders, and they don't really want to do that. It's not material to the competition analysis, I think, but there is a whole section on this in the consumer choice section of the paper, of the report. Okay, not seeing any questions about that. We'll move on to the next edit. I will note in section... Oh, go ahead, Wado.
Yeah, where are we? This part about the trademark holders, I feel that we should put some footnotes somewhere. We talk of respondents to the impact survey indicate that in most cases trademark holders register domains in order up to cyber squatting. I think Supi has footnotes somewhere, but I know we've mentioned that in the impact study, but I think we need to put a footnote, maybe mention the specific part of that report.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, Wado. We can make a citation here for that.
Yeah, we'll look for that. Yeah.
All right, thanks. Moving on, I didn't make any edits to section 1.2 on geographic differences in parking behavior. John McCormack pointed out in his public comment that we were focusing on Chinese-ese, but Chinese people register domains in other CLDs as well. That's true. We knew that already. And as we note in the paper, in the second paragraph here, that although the review team did not have the ability to directly correlate registrant addresses, we looked at these Chinese CLDs. So, hopefully, everyone was aware of that already, that we were using the proxy data that we had available as opposed to the best possible data. 1.3, the relationship between parking and DNS abuse, also no changes to that. So then moving to section 1.4, there were some minor edits to the recommendation section. The first of these is... John McCormack suggested that instead of calling it parking, we talk about domain usage, which seems fine to me, and I agree that it's quite ambiguous when we talk about parking. We're using a definition here that's quite expansive and may not match what other people think of as parking, and different portions of the different types of behavior that we're lumping together as parking likely have different effects on competition dynamics. So as opposed to saying, let's just study parking, we say collect domain usage data. I do say to better understand the implications of parked domains because otherwise people may misinterpret what this domain usage phrase means and want to look at other ways, you know, like content or something like that wouldn't be part of ICANN's mission. And I explain that at the start of the details section as well, why we're using the term domain usage. And then John McCormack also points out that it's better to study individual domains and the effects of the usage or parking of that individual domain versus looking at a TLD in aggregate. I agree with that. We would have liked to have that data available as well this time. And so we point out that ideally the data would allow us to do analysis on a per domain basis. And then the last edit I make is at the very end here, which basically says to reflect the feedback from the IPC that we might not want to wait until the next CCT review. I sort of say the community might also want to look at this issue on its own, independent of the CCT review process, especially since this is a common, as our data shows, parking is quite common in legacy GTLDs as well. This is definitely not something limited to new GTLDs, and it doesn't seem like the community has ever studied this issue meaningfully before. So I think that's an option for the community to take up. I think our mandate is limited to looking at the new GTLD process in particular, but if the broader community wanted to look at this issue holistically, I think that would make sense. So that's it in terms of the edits to the parking section. Just wanted to check if there's any questions or comments. I see Laureen has joined the call. She had made a couple of other suggestions that haven't been incorporated here, but we can do that offline and revise that along with Wodo's suggestions over the next week before the next plenary discussion. Any other questions or comments about this section? I guess next week we're probably not going to talk since it's like here. Whenever we talk again. All right. I don't see any other questions or comments. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Jenna.
Oh, no, I was just saying thank you. I was going to move on. Thank you for the edits to the parking paper.
No problem.
Is David Taylor next on our agenda?
Yes, correct.
I believe I am.
Excellent.
Hi, Jonathan. Hi, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yep, super. Okay. So recommendations 40, 41, and 42. So we discussed that on our safeguard subgroup meeting yesterday, and I went through the comments which we've received on 40, 41, and 42. Everyone's got a copy of the public comments there, which hopefully summarized, obviously, and I did this note you can see here on the recommendations where I ran the comments which we'd had. We did that on the sub team, so I don't know whether you want me to go through those again now. The wider group has to do so, but to let you know where we ended up on that, perhaps, is that we discussed that there was basically broad support for the recommendations 40, 41, and 42, and with those on the call, which was a small group of the subgroup, but I think we're over half anyway, but we agreed unanimously amongst us that we would go with the suggestions which we discussed, and effectively those were for recommendation 40. We were fine with it. We wanted to add in a little bit more context to the rationale concerning the sample size of the INTA study, how the data is an indication of a trend rather than a trend itself. So it was that issue which we brought up just with one of the comments. Nobody was against it, just like the 16 submissions, 5 were in support and 0 against it, but that was a comment which came through from the NCSG. It's in the paper itself, but it's not in the recommendation. So that's what we discussed and thought, okay, well, let's put something in the recommendation. So that's just going to be a few words added in there. And for recommendation, that was the impact study, so I should say as well on 40, you can see that on the screen. And for recommendation 41 and 42, which is the URS and the trademark clearinghouse, the thing there is obviously a fair bit of time has gone on since we made those draft recommendations, and we've got the PDP review of all RPMs, which is reviewing both the URS and the trademark clearinghouse in detail, and it's ongoing. So there was a couple of comments in there. The business constituency registry stakeholders group was saying that this, you know, how did this fit in basically with the RPM working group. In our initial and the
We lost you, David, I believe. Okay, we lost David, so maybe let's give him a few minutes to rejoin.
It's not just me that tries to prevent David from talking.
No, he has lost the connection to the Adobe Connect, so, and he lost his audio as well. Okay, Jonathan, maybe we should move to the next topic.
Yeah, let's do it. What's next?
So we have Jordan again with the consolidated recommendation for 13, 15, and 33.
Okay, Jordan, so, I know there was back and forth with Laureen, but...
Yeah,
I was going to say maybe.
This is Laureen. I would strongly prefer to... discuss this when I've actually had a chance to look at it, and I haven't, so I don't feel comfortable, and neither has the review team for that matter. So I really think we should postpone this until people actually have a chance to review it.
Okay, and we have David back in the room now. David, can you talk and hear us?
I can. Can you hear me?
Can you... talk a little louder, David.
I'm fairly loud. Normally you could hear me well yesterday on the call. So I went through everything there and then stopped and said, does anyone have any comments? And there was complete silence. So I figured at some point I'd been kicked off. I don't know what you heard or where it kicked me off.
You were in mid-sentence.
Which sentence?
I know, I'm trying to remember.
Because I was just carrying on, and then as I say, I said, "So anybody got any comments?" And I said, "Oh, well, I guess not then." And then
David,
I hear your dulcet tones. And... yes.
Can we ask comments on recommendation 40?
This. Maybe I've got a bad connection, or it's, yeah.
Can you not hear Wado, David?
I can hear
David,
you. I didn't hear Wado. Yeah, I can hear Wado saying something, but I don't know what he said. I heard recommendation 42. I didn't hear anything else there.
Oops. You're on and off, David. You're on and off.
That's not me. I might be on and off, but I've got no music playing.
Watto, are you back?
All right. Sorry. Now, I wanted to ask something. Yes, I wanted to ask something about recommendation 40.
Right.
You can now hear me?
Yes.
You can hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you may recall that the impact study was actually done by INTA, so it was an ICANN effort. So the way we have done this recommendation here, we are guiding it to ICANN org. So is there a suggestion that it should be done differently next time, not by INTA, but by another arrangement by ICANN? That's question number one. Then question number two, in case it's going to be done by INTA, then how do you see us fitting in this last paragraph you have put as NB there, whereby you are even suggesting that that there should be an assessment of abuse by trademark owners? I don't think INTA would be interested in doing that. So those are the two questions. First of all, whether you want it done differently, and if it's going to be done by INTA, how you plan to fit in your final suggestions in NB.
Good questions, Watto. We've discussed those previously as well, not those last points, but the first point. I don't know how it's going to work out with that, because we've got INTA willing to fund the study and use Nielsen. We had the discussion beginning of this whether ICANN would fund it. At the end of the day, it seems we may have two entities willing to fund, and they have to discuss with each other as to who funds and who pays what, but I can't really opine as to who should be paying for it. If it's going to INTA members, then, you know, INTA needs to talk and liaise with ICANN and decide who is willing to pay for it and who wants to pay for it. I know INTA is saying they're willing and happy to pay for it going forward and to repeat the study, so we have to see whether ICANN's budget will step up to paying for some of that or all of that, and I don't really know. I'm open to whatever anybody thinks they should be doing, but I don't think we can necessarily say that and say who should pay for it. And on the second point there about that, very good point, you know, whether trademark owners are abusive, I think that would be a separate study. I agree, INTA wouldn't be looking and having people respond as to whether or not they feel they're abusive, because I think it would be likely to be very few, but that could certainly be independent. And somebody could be looking and see how many abusive trademark complaints are brought out of all the trademark complaints that are brought. And that can be something quite separate. And, you know, perhaps Nielsen could even just look at that as a separate point and add that in. So, you know, that side of things is really my NB there, was whether we try and bring those in. There's no comments on them on this comment phase. So there's no public request for those to be put in. It's something which, when I was going through my notes and comparing, it was something which I saw we talked about previously, so I was wondering whether we bring those into the final report, which I'm open to and quite happy to do if we think it's a good idea. Did everyone hear me? Have I got cut off again?
You're still broadcasting.
I'm still here. Okay.
Yeah.
Suddenly the silence made me think it happened again.
Yeah. Does anybody else have questions on recommendation? Go ahead.
Sorry, no, I was just wondering whether you'd heard what I'd said. Was it just originally, did you just hear what I was saying about recommendation 40, or did you hear what I said about 41 and 42 when I was talking?
I think we just heard 40, David.
Okay. So if there's any other comments on 40, happy to take them. I'll go on to 41 and 42 then. So basically on those, since our initial draft recommendation, we've got the PDP review group of all RPMs in all GTLDs has been ongoing. And they're reviewing, as we know, the URS and the clearinghouse in detail. So a couple of the comments which were coming through which I thought helpful from the public comments, was really the liaison or the link between what we are suggesting and we are recommending and what the PDP group is already doing, which is a thing we grappled with at the beginning. So I think now is the time to sort of take those on board a little more and say, and change the wording of these, but not the substance at all. Instead of where we're saying we're, you know, we're looking, especially in the rationale of both these recommendations, we say we're looking towards the PDP and depending what they do, etc. But I think we can be a little bit more precise and say, given that this is ongoing, we recommend that this recommendation be transferred into the work of that group, and states that the, provided this PDP RPM has sufficient data to enable it to draw conclusions, then we don't consider an additional review as necessary. So I think we can be more precise and build that in, and have the PDP working group look at that. Again, open to those. That's the only amendments which we'd do on that. And what I did say as well when I was cut off was that this sheet here which you've got is circulated amongst the subgroup. I'm happy to circulate amongst the plenary group as well for any other comments, and I was going to wait for any other comments from any of the sub-team. And then based on that, I'll firm up some recommendation amendments, circulate those, and then go into the text. So I could look at that probably tomorrow if need be. If I haven't got any comments through the end of today, I'll go ahead and amend the recommendations and then circulate those.
Thanks, David. Questions from anyone?
Hey, Jonathan, I guess you can't see the hand, so I'll just jump in. It's Jordan.
Great.
David, I guess my take on this is roughly that this recommendation is basically obsolete at this point. That
41 or 42?
42.
Or both.
Oh, sorry, 40, both 40. I would say both. So 42 for sure. 42 has definitely been done. We may or may not think that it was, like, the best analysis, but I actually think analysis group did the best they could given the data that was available, and I see no reason to believe that that a follow-up study would have any better data available to them. So it would just be sort of like bashing your head against the wall to try to redo it. And 41, you know, I think the PDP is, it seems to fall squarely in the scope of what the PDP is doing, so I don't see any reason why we need to separately recommend it at this point. Like, we put these things before to sort of say, like, we think these are important, we should make sure they're going to happen, and if they don't, then it's good to have them on the record. But I think at this point we sort of know they're going to happen. Like, one's happened, the other one's happening. And so, I mean, I would just say, like, we remove these and say that was already done between when we published our initial report and when we get to the final report.
Perhaps, if we do that, then we ignore all the public comments that support putting them in with zero against. We've got no comments saying to take these out. So,
well, that's not true with 41, right?
41 has got, oh yeah, there's one against, sorry, yes, correct, 41's got one against, and two supporting, so that's minimal.
I mean, I guess, like, so the BC says, you should do this, we should transfer it to the RPM PDP as a recommended CCT, but the RPM PDP is already it's already done, right? Like, the outcome of that is suggested by the BC.
Not 41, it hasn't.
I mean, 41, are you saying that
41,
the PDP...
That's ongoing.
No, but as the RPM PDP has already agreed that they are going to do this, there's no reason for us to at this point tell them they should do this, right? It's already in their scope of work for that PDP.
Yes, I suppose so. I mean, you could say that it's in the scope of work. I think my point on that was to make sure that for 41, I'll come back to 42, but for 41, we'd be saying, providing that this PDP review has sufficient data, then we don't consider an initial review is necessary. So I would argue there that our recommendation is, yes, as long as you do it right, and you've got sufficient data, then we're happy, it's good. But if you end up with another thing saying, there's not sufficient data, we just don't know, it's too early, then I think an additional review would then be necessary at a later date. But then I think our recommendation stands. So yes, it's in their ballpark, and that's why I'd want to change the recommendation to specifically say that, you know, given that they're looking at it, we're okay, that's fine, but provided it's got sufficient data. And I think that's why I'd come back on the recommendation 42, which is the one that doesn't certainly have anyone against, and the comments were to include that there was some discussion about whether or not, and again we discussed this on the call at length yesterday, about the cost-benefit analysis. What we're saying there is that there should be a cost-benefit analysis. Now that may be debatable, that's what we think, and when we looked at the Trademark Clearinghouse analysis review, they said we can't draw firm conclusions because we haven't got sufficient data. So our point here has been, well, we need sufficient data, it hasn't got it, so now if the PDP working group has reviewed the Trademark Clearinghouse and still doesn't have sufficient data, then we just keep reinventing the wheel rather than getting hold of that data. So I do think we should have a cost-benefit analysis, and that's something certainly which everybody has agreed. We could take it out, but we're changing it quite considerably then, I think.
I think at this point, it's basically like if someone sent us a recommendation saying, like, you guys should do a study on parking. Like, you guys should understand parking. And we'll say, like, okay, well, here's what we could figure out. And they're like, that's not good enough. You should do a better job. And, like, they're doing the best job they can, right? Like, it's just not that helpful for us to be like, oh, you did a suck job, do it again, because no one's doing a bad job because they don't want to do a good job. It's just, like, the data is, in fact, not like the reason why the TMCH analysis, like, they can't do cost-benefit analysis is because, like, there was no way to obtain the data in order to do a cost-benefit analysis. And so, like, we can, like, complain that they did, like, that they didn't do a good enough job, but, like, going and doing the same thing again, they're not going to, there's no reason to believe that they're going to get better data the second time around, because it's like, what is the number of registration through the claims process that, like, fall out? Like, registries and registrars either don't collect that data or aren't going to share it, so that's not going to change the second time around. It just seems like trying to like second guess other groups that have basically said, like, we're already, like, this work is done. A TMCH review was done. They tried to do a cost-benefit analysis. They couldn't. And for us just to be like, well, you have to, like, just doesn't seem helpful at all, any more than, like, people telling us all the parts of our report that, like, we weren't able to do. If they just came back and said, well, you guys, like, should do it anyways, like, it doesn't help. It's not going to fix the problem.
Yeah, I can certainly see that.
And this is Laurie. Can I jump in also?
Go ahead.
So I'm going to jump in because I'm not able to see any hands since I'm only on the phone. And also I'm not able to see the recommendation itself. But from what I hear, Jordan's point is that we're not being helpful by telling them to do the same thing over again in hopes that we'll have a different result. So I'm wondering if there's a way, David, to make our suggestion something that would be constructive and could perhaps point them in a direction that would be more likely to yield a more useful result.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think. I'm thinking. I didn't realize, so that's my bad, if I didn't realize they'd done a cost-benefit analysis, so, and I didn't see any comment to our recommendation. I'm a little bit blind on that.
No, they didn't do one. They wanted to, but they couldn't get the, it's just like our report, right? Like, there's a bunch of places where we say, like, well, we tried to do this, and we couldn't, because there was no data, right? And that's the same thing with the TMCH analysis. Like, the TMCH review, I quite well done, given what they had available to them, but, like, nothing's going to, there's no new, like they tried to understand the costs of the TMCH in terms of, like, costs to registries and registrars, costs to registrants, and they just really struggle to get at that data in a meaningful way.
So maybe that's where we need to go on that, and to be lamenting that. Again, it's the lack of data. It just seems that we all get strung up with no data, and I don't know what we're doing for 2 years. You know?
Yeah, but I guess that's my point, right? Like, if some other PDP, like, wrote us, or another CCT review thing said, like, you guys didn't have enough data about pricing, like, therefore your report, like, wasn't complete, like, we would say, well, duh, I know that too. We wrote that in our report. Like, how is that helpful to tell us that we did a bad job because we didn't have pricing data?
But we're not saying to them...
Should we take this opportunity to... Should we take this opportunity to give a fresh example of the problem with data and point people back to our data-related recommendations? In other another data point for our recommendations rather than a recommendation in of itself?
I mean, in some cases that may make a little bit of sense, but like the reason why the TMCH didn't have data is I think fundamentally it's unobtainable, right? Like in order to understand the effects of like the claim service on whether it scares off registrants, like legitimate registrants from registering legitimate names that are not trademark violations. In order to understand that, you basically have to look at like transactional, like step-by-step flow data from registrars to see, like, okay, who was presented with the screen, like, what was their behavior afterwards, and even more, you'd have to know, like, did they have a bad intent or did they have a good intent? Like, that's, like, almost unstudiable, right? Like, and so I think it's going to be really hard to ever draw, like, it's the kind of thing, like, when Stan was around, he would talk about, like, these are good projects for, like, you know, his PhD students. Maybe there is, like, a project that, like, someone could do, like, a seminal exercise and, like, in, you know, coming up with a really crafty methodology for, like, getting at some of these problems. But it's, like, super non-obvious how you would solve some of these problems. The URS, like, the reason why there's not URS data is because there's hardly been any URS cases, right? Like, how do you fix that? there's nothing to go off of.
Right. Well, there is data to go off the URS because there's been complaints filed, and we've got data, and it's being looked at and heavily discussed. So there is data, and less data
sure,
than UDRP, but it's earlier. So,
but I guess, like, if you would have done the URS data, like, study earlier, I think part of the reason why the RPM PDP, like, pushed this later, it was because, like, early, it was too early, right? There wouldn't be any data.
Well, we've got the data. I mean, there's data in our report on the URS of numbers filed, et cetera. So there
sure.
is data there. And there's more data.
I guess I'm just saying, like,
sure.
If they came to the conclusion that, like, oh, there's only N cases and it's not, like, significant enough to, like, figure anything out, like, that would just be true, right? Like, that's just a statement about the state of the not a failure of the team to, like, digest. You know, to try, like, I guess in both of these cases, like, there's been, like, a good faith, so in the case of 42, there was a good faith effort by the reviewer of the TMCH to try to solve this problem. And in the case of 41, there's a commitment by a PDP to solve this problem. I just don't understand what the benefit of, like, telling them to do this, you know, saying, like, you should do these things when it's already, in one case, A, it's already been attempted, and in one case, it's committed to. I just don't understand how, like, that's a helpful outcome from the CCT review.
I certainly hear what you're saying. Basically, we've taken too long to do our job, so our initial recommendations which have been made have already been taken on board by the PDP, so we now withdraw these recommendations effectively, that there's no need to recommend.
Yeah, this one's, I mean,
my thought.
Our draft report was successful.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'd go, and that was the one thing here, to firm up the 41 and 42, and as I mentioned there, to specifically say that given this is ongoing, and since our initial draft recommendation, this is ongoing, so we're specifically saying we don't consider an additional review is necessary. So we're just coming full circle and saying, so good, and you're on it, and as long as you come out and you say that you've got sufficient data, then there's no need for an additional review. But if, again, everyone comes out saying there's this massive lack of data, we can't decide anything, then I think our recommendations do stand, because we're saying, well, we've got to get at this data. Now, arguably, we might not be able to get the clearinghouse data, but we can certainly get URS data. So, again, if somebody came out of that saying there's insufficient data, well, how do we go about collecting this, and how do we collect it in a better manner? And that does come to our sort of perennial problem. So I suppose my feeling is that they should stay in there, but clearly the recommendation is not recommending additional review, nor is it criticising the ongoing review. It's saying, you know, that it's that there's no need to do a further review. It's not necessary if we've done the best shot we can with those reviews, with the PDPs.
I mean, I guess, like, I don't have, like, I'm not going to, like, have a huge fight over this. It's just, like, seems... Like, I think there's a bunch of places where we've either consolidated or removed recommendations that seem like they're unnecessary at this point, or that were duplicative. And these just seem duplicative of life that's already happened in the intervening year.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
Like, I guess my take is it would be fine to declare success, essentially, right? Like, put in our notes, like, oh, we removed these recommendations because we're already done. Good job, ICANN.
I certainly see the logic of
Of Jordan's perspective on this, and without something to break the data problem, there's not something new to recommend happening. So, I mean, I think putting a positive spin on this and declaring success is probably a good notion. I mean, something that's been committed to maybe feels like, hey, maybe we're adding our imprimatur to something that's planned to happen that would help keep it from getting shelved or something like that. I don't know. But certainly something that's already been done, there's not much for us to recommend.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's not a huge deal. Like, if I'm 41, we want to say, like, we know the RPM PDP is already doing this. We think it's great. That's fine, I guess. It just seems like kind of a weird recommendation, but I'm not really going to stand in the way of it. It just seems kind of redundant. Like, it seems like our recommendations will have more weight if there are fewer of them and they seem sort of more compelling, in my opinion. Other people may disagree. And so to the extent we can take out things that, like, aren't going to be, like, significant value add to the community, I think that's a benefit. Other people may disagree and think we want to recommend as much stuff as possible so stuff doesn't get lost. That's a valid viewpoint as well, but that's my take.
And I think, come on, that I like that idea of saying, we could say recommendation 42, for instance, complete. So our recommendation is there. This was our recommendation in the draft reports, and given the time, it's been completed and transferred to the PDPR review. So as such, I don't know how we do that. I mean, either we just get rid of it, or we. Reword it, or we actually say that, and as you rightly say, you know, take it as a success. This is an early recommendation 2 years ago, and in the meantime, it's been done.
I think that makes sense. And Jordan, I certainly agree with you in principle that fewer is better, more impactful is better, and if I would add to that, implied in this discussion is minimizing the number of recommendations that will lead to implementation questions for which we have no answers. Where we're truly throwing something over the transom without any sense of how it could get accomplished. So I think that's a good filter on a recommendation as well. So I like the idea of taking credit. Rather than just having the thing mysteriously drop.
Okay, well, I'll try and put some taking credit wording into them, and then we'll maybe put a square bracket saying recommendation deemed complete, and then we can somehow not have them drop, but have them sit there, but no longer need to be implemented. Implementation considered complete.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Okay.
And just does everyone agree on that with the cost benefit analysis? Because there was some questions or some thoughts on the public comments about trying to direct the GNSO as to how it could be looking at this in more detail. And obviously that ties into, as Jordan rightly points out, there's been this difficulty in doing a cost benefit analysis. To my mind, it was indicative there of the lack of data, so we should push and say, well, this needs to be looked at, and this is an ongoing thing. So there's our recommendation: figure, we've got to figure this out, how to get more data generally, and here's another example. Or do we want to just pull back off that and drop the request for a cost benefit analysis?
Hey, David, I confess I haven't looked at the public comments on this. I've read the TMCH review, but I haven't seen the comments. I'll take a look at the comments and see if it seems like there's useful stuff we can channel here. I'm reluctant to just sort of say the TMCH review happened and we didn't like the work product, so someone do it again.
But again, I just to underline, we're not saying that we didn't like the work product at any stage. It's supporting what they've done. It's good. We're not saying we don't like it.
I mean, we can say it however we
want. We're saying we don't need to do another one because it's being carried out. I'm not actually opining to the quality of it either way.
Well, I guess that's what I'm getting at, right? Like, if the comments are basically like, if the comments from the community are roughly like, oh, this didn't do a cost-benefit analysis, you should do that. And we just channel that. I think that is effectively just saying we didn't like the previous report. Like, I guess, like, it would be interesting to me to see what the public comments are suggesting and whether they're germane to the CCT or whether they're just like criticisms of the previous PMCH review. It just seems like it's weird for us to channel public comments about this PMCH review when
The very light comments, since may as well we'll just mention it, is the registry stakeholder group, which are talking, it's the only one talking about the cost-benefit analysis, and they effectively ask us how we believe such a cost-benefit analysis should be undertaken and what specific value it would add to the evaluation that's already been done. And then it says, the RPM group has been reviewing the trademark claiming house. It hasn't engaged in any specific cost-benefit analysis. Given that that's underway, in order for the GNSO to adopt this recommendation, any guidance will be helpful. So that's really where it's talking about this thing, so it's there. And do we go into it? That's what we discussed in our sub-call yesterday. How do we give guidance on this? I'm not sure we can. But do we just drop it and lose all mention of it, or do we somehow retain it in there and note, again, the lack of data? That's what I'm grappling with, which we tried to grapple with yesterday, and
So I guess the question there is, for the PDP in particular, do we have any special insights from our work that would help their work?
Mm.
And I haven't been following your subgroup, so maybe you guys do, but unless we do, it doesn't seem like it's that useful to say anything. Like, is there anything we discovered from our review that we could give to the PDP such that it would make it more likely that they would be successful?
Mm. No, and I think the only thing which we did discover our review was this statement in the previous clearinghouse review when we had the two reviews and this sort of disclaimer saying we don't have the data to do this. You know, we're missing data, we don't have the data. So it was a very detailed report but was missing data. So that's really, again, it's just tied into our general thing, working, how do we get this data? And perhaps we should be collecting it in a different way. And it needs to be collected in some form or manner. I don't know. And that's where it's the idea of a cost-benefit analysis was really one of those people who've analysed the trademark clearinghouse and haven't been able to conclude because A, B, or C is missing. How do we get A, B, or C? And they're probably best placed to say we could get it this way or we don't think we can get it, as you say. And maybe that's the case. We just don't think we can ever get this data, full stop. So then drop it if we genuinely believe that, but if registries or people refuse to give data, then I still think it potentially is an issue which needs to be addressed rather than just accepting that there's a refusal to give data. But maybe that's a bigger picture.
Yeah, I mean, I will say it's the registrars in this case who aren't giving the data. I suspect they don't have it, but even if they did, like, it's basically like they're hurting themselves, right? Because, like, the side of data that's missing is, like, the registrars would claim that, like, the claim service costs them, like, prevents legitimate registrations and costs them money because people get scared away from registering trademark names, even if it's a non-infringing use. But then, you know, they're not willing or able to share the data that supports that notion. So to a certain extent, I'm like, you know, if you guys don't want to share that data, then, like, we're just not going to take that claim very seriously, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the thing as well, exactly as you say. When you don't have the data, you can claim anything. And then we go back to anecdotal evidence. And everyone fires off the anecdotals on each side of the story, which is what we'd be trying to get away from.
So, David, as a follow-up, I'll try to take a look at the TMCH review again and just sort of see what my recollection is. The types of data they say they don't have are the types that I, in my opinion at least, never going to be able to get. So, like I would tend to say on recommendation 42, like, analysis group to this, they had some problems with data, you know, just like we did. We're already recommending, see our first recommendation. We want ICANN should be more data-driven. Analysis group did a good job with what they did. Good job, declare success, and then keep paying attention to data collection because that's an important thing for ICANN to do or something like that.
And I suppose we need to look at the RPM working group and where they have ended up on the clearinghouse specifically. So that's maybe an action point in Puerto Rico. Because what do they feel is missing? What do they feel, if they'd have had certain data, they would have been able to do or review it in a better manner?
Yeah, I haven't been following the RPM at all, so your insights would be better there.
Okay, well, anyway, that's helpful. So it sounds like you look at that aspect, yeah, that would be good.
All right, David, and you're going to look at some interesting credit-taking language.
Yes.
All right. What else do we have on the agenda for today besides Jordan's discussion? And are we out of time? I don't remember what we said for today. Hello, Tees.
Hi, Jonathan. That's a two-hour plenary call today, and we still have one item on the agenda, which is consolidation.
My question for Laureen and Jordan is, does it make sense, respecting Laureen's desire to not discuss until everyone's had a chance to read it, does it make sense for Jordan to present it to how people understand it before we have a discussion, or just wait for people to read the document?
I mean, I can give people a short overview of what I did, and then they can read
what your thinking
fine.
Was, exactly.
I mean, it's literally only a two-sentence addition to the recommendation, so it's not too complicated to digest. I think Laureen in particular may want to some time to think through the implications, but I can set up I can give her context for what we're trying to do.
Exactly. So we're not going to try to push it into any conclusion, but why don't you just give the overview and then we'll let it go.
Yeah, sure. Happy. Jean-Baptiste, can you present that really quickly? So just for context, the edit that I've made here is an attempt to consolidate recommendation 11 with the consolidated recommendations 13, 15, and 33 that Maureen had previously consolidated. I'll note this is a little bit different than Laureen's consolidation in that Laureen had consolidated a bunch of recommendations around consumer trusts in particular. This is an attempt to take the question that was more focused on consumer choice but still tied to the registrant survey and combine them together. And so you'll see there's a little bit of an edit at the very top of this, basically saying instead of saying just to conduct a survey that focuses on consumer trust, say conduct a survey that focuses on consumer trust, potential benefits, and costs related to confusion of new GTLDs. So that's just sort of to tee it up, to expand the scope of the survey, or the, of the study. And then Maureen talks about the existing text describes the facets of trust that they would like to study as part of the survey. And then I just add a couple of sentences to capture the intent of recommendation 11 at the end, saying that we should also, and this language is basically just cribbed from Megan's original recommendation 11, which is saying, like, the survey should also, so basically the idea here is we're already asking people, like, which domains do they go to, which domains do they trust, and then we're just sort of also trying to ask, like, and do you feel like you're getting any benefit out of having these additional choices? And so basically says the survey should allow relative weighting of the contributions to consumer choice, like are geo names helpful, are sector names helpful, are IDNs helpful, do you have a preference for any of these? And then the flip side of that is are these, and, you know, now you have all these more choices, is that actually helpful to you or more confusing? So in addition to just asking, like, okay, what do you go to and do you trust them, we're also saying, and is it, like, useful for you to have these additional choices or is it confusing? So that's the intent of what I've added here. It does conflate two different concepts. Before, this was very focused on consumer trust, and now it just sort of broadens it up to be this general set of questions relating to sort of registrant behavior and preferences. But I do think it is, like, we did use the same survey last time for both of these things. We would probably use it again in the future. So to me, it makes sense to consolidate it, but I think Maureen obviously needs to take a look and see whether this sort of, she feels like this dilutes or confuses the previous recommendation. So that's it. And I will also add, Laureen, if you think that this is a useful consolidation, we probably would add some more text to the rationale and stuff below. I didn't bother to do that yet because we wanted to see if the consolidation made sense first.
Thanks, Jordan. I'll just need a little time to look at it and think it through. But it was actually helpful having you give this overview, so I appreciate that.
Great. Yes, thanks, Jordan. Has anybody else got any questions for Jordan, just in terms of clarifications or intent and to help with your ruminations? I can't see if anybody has their hands up, but...
I jump in. I'm looking at that, but there is no hand up at this time.
All right. Thanks, Jean-Baptiste. And thank you, Jordan. And Jean-Baptiste, what's next on the agenda?
So we have a discussion on recommendation 19 and 34 that Drew will be presenting.
Okay. Drew, go ahead. Take it away. Is Drew on the call?
He is, but he's not responding. Maybe he's on mute. Yeah, I don't. Okay, he's back now.
Hey guys, can you hear me? Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hello? Oh, okay. Sorry, yeah, I had some audio issues.
Yep.
So, yeah, in the spirit of consolidation, I just wanted to have a quick chat about two recommendations that we put in much earlier in our report that now could likely be consolidated at least with each other or even combined into one of our newer recommendations from the DNS abuse chapter, or alternatively combined into one of our other broader data collection recommendations. And so both of these recommendations, do I have scrolling ability? Sorry. I don't think I have scrolling ability, Jean-Baptiste. Thanks. So, there's these two recommendations, and then there's the third one, the DNS abuse one we might be able to combine it with. But both of these are dealing with aspects of DNS abuse and, us talking about the type of research that needs to be done, whereas with the new DNS abuse recommendation we have that's related to this, we're more emphasizing that there needs to be a regular collection and publishing of data so that there can be data-driven policymaking as well as action taken when necessary to mitigate abuse. And so the question for the group is whether or not we could we would be comfortable at least combining recommendation 19 and recommendation 34. And then moreover, would we be comfortable perhaps putting all of these into just the one recommendation? And what I'm thinking is that we could perhaps put the meat of all of this into the newer DNS abuse recommendation. We need to add a sentence or two. And then anything that would not really serve that purpose there might go into a broader recommendation about data collection, as we are, to the extent we're kind of creating a monster data recommendation from all the leftovers of all of these various recommendations that we came up with much earlier in our process. And so just to kind of go over these, I think hopefully everyone can see on the screen, but recommendation 19 is emphasizing that, we intend for the DNS abuse study to be repeated in some form so that there's current information about rates of abuse, and that would also of course show progress in terms of abuse mitigation efforts by the community, and show where policy recommendations even we would make, to what extent they're having an effect before the next CCT review issues their report. And so that was our intention there with that one. And then recommendation 34, similarly, we ask for the repeat of the study. In this one, though, we were a little more particular in the fact that we thought that registration restrictions should be looked at in a precise manner to find those correlations broken down with the different types of registration restrictions. And this was in part based off of what we saw as far as research done by Nielsen from the Big Nielsen survey that indicated that there was actually a positive relationship between registration restrictions and the trustworthiness of a domain. So then we wanted to see if that really correlated with reality in terms of whether a domain name that would maybe be or a TLD that would be perceived as trustworthy was actually trustworthy when you looked at the amount of abuse there. And as Jordan noted, that our DNS abuse study said, yes, there's definitely correlation. What we were intending here, as I recall, though, is to get maybe a more nuanced look so that we could see what types of restrictions in particular correlated more or less strongly with abuse, because as we know, big picture, you make it harder to register a domain, then it's harder for a bad guy to register a domain, and you're going to have less abuse. But that's what we were looking at there. And then the recommendation that is newer that we're looking at. Yeah.
So, sorry, I was just going to say, I'm 34. Like, my guess, and I think this is, like, it would be interesting to see if we need to look at this more, but I suspect as long as there's such a thing as an open TLD, basically any registration restriction at all is going to, my recollection of the data is basically there's, like, no abuse in the restricted TLDs. And so it doesn't really, like, it almost doesn't matter what restriction you have in place. And it just seems like it's going to be hard to, like, actually do this study because, like, to do this, like, what type of restriction matters, because it's going to be, like, all of them basically completely eliminate abuse because bad guys don't want to, like, go through any effort because there's such a thing as an open TLD where they don't have to do that.
Right.
So I guess this just falls into the category of, I think we did this already, and trying again is not going to actually add that much more value.
I was just now going to present the recommendation that we would roll everything into. So I was just explaining where we were at the time with that. But exactly. I'm echoing that with my inclination to combine all of these. So then with recommendation C, our newest recommendation, this is one where, like the aforementioned recommendations, we are calling for there to be more research done so that way this isn't just something that occurs every several years when a review team convenes. And we're going a step further in saying that the output or the outcome of any sort of research should be actionable in some sort of way so that, there are there's abuse mitigation put into place when necessary, so that there's just data available to the community, so that at a policy level, the community can remediate problems. And so with those, aforementioned older policy recommendations, I think that, our newer one really embodies everything we were concerned about before. And to Jordan's point, I don't see there being a need to call explicitly for a separate study on registration restrictions, even though we have that data from Nielsen about the trustworthiness. I think we have enough data in our newer one, even though it's not nuanced, broken down by the types of registration restrictions, that really does already show that correlation. And I think to the extent we're calling for ongoing research and ongoing just data collection in general with recommendation C, to the extent that that is something that really is important as different trends come out, that's something that our recommendation essentially allows for, even though we're not explicitly calling for that type of, metrics to be part of the research. And so I feel very comfortable combining these. If we combine them, I guess the question is there anything we need to add to recommendation C to for anything we would be losing by getting rid of recommendations 19 and 34? And Jordan, did you want to chime in again now?
I mean, I think we should. My general sentiment is that as I've expressed earlier, is that we should consolidate wherever possible. So I think we should consolidate all of this. I agree with your proposal.
Or we could break it down into 9 and call them the Jordan Buchanan recommendations, expanded recommendations.
12 pages each. I agree with your structure too.
Okay. So, and I don't really think we're losing anything. I don't see anything we really need to add to recommendation C. I think we've done a pretty good job with that one. And that one will be slightly modified for style and whatnot anyway. So, because I've not sent out, I still got a little more feedback yesterday, so I've not sent out the latest draft of the DNS abuse chapter. So if anyone has any feedback in general about that one, just give that to me, and then we can just further tweak that one if someone has an idea, and then otherwise I think get rid of 19 and 34. Okay, so then I guess I'm trying to think how many people are on the phone. I guess we can send out an email asking if there are any objections to this proposal. That way, since we don't have many people on the phone, that way everyone can weigh in case anyone has an objection. But otherwise, what we'll do is we'll go ahead and get rid of recommendations 19 and 34 and keep recommendation C. And then if anyone has any feedback on improving C, then just email me directly, please, or to the group.
So, Drew, it's Laureen. So, can you send around the latest and greatest version after the call, just so we all make sure we're looking at the last version when we weigh in?
Yes. So the feedback I got yesterday, I started editing that this morning before the call, so I'll send that out later today. All right, well, thank you. Well, mine for today was easy. Not always easy.
Thanks, Drew. Jean-Baptiste?
Nothing, no other topic on the agenda, just any other business at this stage, I believe.
Does anyone have any other business? Do the folks that are coming to Puerto Rico want to pick a night and do a dinner or a lunch or something like that for a mini face-to-face?
And, Jensen, there is a hand raise from David.
Oh, I'm okay, and I want to chime in, too.
Okay, David, go ahead.
That was going to be my exact question. So instead of asking the same question, I'll answer it and say, yes, please, happy to, whenever suits Jonathan or anybody.
And I'll chime in also and say that would be great, although evenings are seeming to be getting a bit crunched, so I would suggest perhaps a lunch would be lovely. Maybe we could either send around a doodle poll or just via email, because it's for likely a smaller subset of us are going to be attending.
Right. Okay, I will. I'll try to send around a doodle poll today sometime. Any other business? Okay, thanks everyone, and in particular Jordan and Drew. Thanks for your work, and we'll see you on the next call. Go ahead.
I was saying, and David,
exactly. I'll talk to you guys soon.
There's a theme there.
All right, thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.